Hello and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Podcast. This is episode 37. I'm Meenal and thank you for joining me this week. Okay, I'm just going to get right to the point. This is something I've been just waiting to tell you guys. I wouldn't say interesting weekend, but I would say probably life-changing weekend. And I've been waiting to tell you guys. I was just thinking, well, when can I record this episode and just sort of let it all out and spill the beans? But on Friday, I met my hero for the first time, and I've never really had this moment. I feel like I've met Nishant's heroes. He loves cricket. I've met his favorite cricket players. I've met my brother's favorite cricket players as well. But I've never really had my moment. And on Friday, we had a business meeting at Darjeeling Express, which is in London. And obviously, the owner of that restaurant is Asma Khan. And for those of you who don't know, Asma Khan opened this restaurant in central London after moving from her previous restaurant, which was in Covent Garden. But that's not even the point. The point is that her story is just, it's eye-watering, and her food is mouth-watering. She's an incredible woman. I first came across her story on Netflix, right? There's this TV show called Chef's Table. And I'm sure I've spoken about this before. I'm sure I've spoken about cooking shows and how I think the shows that we see on TV, like MasterChef and these morning cooking shows, they don't add the value to your life that the ones on Netflix do. I feel like the whole production and the editing and the storytelling, that's what it is. It's a storytelling that's so captivating. So Chef's Table goes to different chefs around the world. And Asma Khan, I think, is the only British chef who was featured on this season. And I mean, forget being British, but female South Asian chef featured on this incredible documentary is just, well, I mean, it just shows the hard work that she's put in to get to that stage. But If you watch it, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it just reminds me of Prague when I was studying in medical school. You know, I'm talking about it, I'm getting goosebumps because she speaks about how she came to the UK and she felt so lonely. She missed her mum, she missed her mum's food, and she was walking down a street one day and she smelled someone making parante, and she could smell the ghee, and that sort of reminded her of home and made her really emotional. And that's where her whole cooking journey began. That reminded me so much of my time in Prague because I missed my mom's food so much. I remember in my first trimester, my God, thing about pregnancy here, in my first semester, I remember I lost so much weight because I was just surviving on bread and toast, plus the stress of medical school as well. And it was only when I went back home that I realized what was wrong, and I missed my mom's food. And you know, to celebrate your heritage in the way that Asma Khan does, and to celebrate the roots of your genes and the culture that you're from, the way Asma Khan has created a restaurant where you feel like you've walked in to your mom's kitchen and you've sat down and it feels like your mom is feeding you with your own hands. That's the feeling I got when I went into a restaurant. And remember, Asma Khan is someone who has a PhD. She studied. She doesn't need to do any of this. And this is what she told me when I met her on Friday. So let me just preface this a little bit. I watched Chef's Table a few months ago, and then I watched it again last month. And then I watched it again with my mom when my mom came around to show my mom who this amazing woman was. I was like, you have to watch this. You have to know her story, because my mom is someone who will never eat out. She believes that what we make at home is a blessing that we can actually cook at home. And there is no reason for us to order food from outside. So everything that my mom makes is really, I would say it's like an offering to God to say thanks that we have the opportunity and we have the means to cook. So whenever my mom cooks, there's always so much love put into it. And I never thought someone could replicate that. I never thought that someone could at least create something similar to that until obviously I went to Asma Khan's kitchen, until I went to a restaurant. So when I showed my mom this show, my mom said, Mila, you have to get on the podcast. I was like, I know, because Asma Khan over the last few months has gained a lot of traction for obviously coming on Netflix, but also creating a kitchen where she's not only running a huge restaurant, but she's tried to create an ecosystem where the staff are also benefiting. So they're all mainly females in the kitchen. And in the Netflix episode, you can see how she dances with them in the kitchen. And there's a lot of classic Indian Bollywood music playing. And it feels very homey. And it's very different to the classic, you know, high-end restaurant you'll see, like Gordon Ramsay, where everyone is just stressed and panicking. So when I showed my mom this episode on Netflix, she said, you know, you have to get Asma Khan on the show. And I said, that I was like, I need to speak to this woman. So I messaged Asma on Instagram, and she happened to be featured by Vogue magazine as well on the online version. And we connected through that. And she said, Mila, look, I'm more than happy to do the podcast, but I'm opening this new restaurant. Now, Asma Khan had moved from one part of London to a more, I would say, a part of London which has a much higher footfall and is very close to Leicester Square. So you can imagine the customers she's getting and the sort of high-end prices that people are paying to eat at her place. But she's the only restaurant that's opened in 2020. During a pandemic, Asma Khan opened a restaurant. And we're talking about at a time where the hospitality industry has completely been crushed. She somehow, by hook or crook, opened up a restaurant. And this is the fire that she has, you know. When I met her on Friday, so we walked into the restaurant, and I told Nishan, I said, look, I've spoken to lots of important people on the phone. I've been interviewed by lots of media. I've spoken to ministers, man. I've gone on panels with ministers to create policy changes. But never have I been as nervous as I am today. And that was because I feel that the true passion that comes inside me of creating a change has for the first time been reflected by somebody else like Asma. And Asma Khan is like someone I look up to as like my mother, you know. She's someone who's older than me and someone who's come from India. And her story about being a daughter in India where this is frowned upon, where they feel that daughters can't achieve what boys can. You know, to go through all of that, then come to a new country, then having to study, feeling lonely, building her life. I mean, now to create this restaurant, I mean, that's just incredible. When she saw me, so she had a mask on, and this is the annoying thing about this pandemic is that we're all wearing masks, so we can't have that communication that we usually would. And I was sitting on the table, and I could see Asma going from table to table, and I knew she was coming to us, and I was just thinking, Radhika, please behave. Because remember, I think I've said this before, that Radhika is just not taking the bottle. So she's only breastfeeding. That's the only thing she's taking. She is taking some like purees from time to time. But apart from that, she just wants to be breastfed. She just refuses to take the bottle. And remember, she can't even sit on a high chair yet. She's not at that age. So she just has to be on my lap. So when Asma was going from table to table, I was just praying that Radhika wouldn't throw a tantrum or wouldn't get upset, because I had fed her in the car before we went into the restaurant as an emergency thing. And I could see Asma going around from table to table. And it was just like I had seen on Netflix, because the whole feeling of that restaurant is that she invites you into her home and she explains the dishes and she goes through everything, you know, dish by dish, recipe by recipe, ingredients to explain where all of this comes from. So this is something I was really looking forward to, her welcoming, really. So we sat down, and when she came to us, I didn't know what to say. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched Kenan and Kel, but there's an episode in Kenan and Kel, which is a TV show on Nickelodeon, which I watched religiously when I was young. There's an episode where Bill Clinton comes in to visit Kenan in his work. And when Bill Clinton says to Kenan, so this guy's name is actually Kenan, Bill Clinton says, oh, so what's your name? And then Kenan, who's so nervous to meet the president of the United States of America, he stutters and he says, my name is Sharona. And that's the thing that was playing in my head the whole time. I was like, Emil, don't say anything stupid. Like, don't have a Sharona moment. But then when she came, the first thing she did was look at Radhika. And Radhika is, I mean, she just smiles at everybody. She's just full of innocence and excitement of seeing new people, seeing new places. Now, before I have anyone from the lockdown police coming to hunt me down, this was a business meeting that we were at. So this is why we were allowed to go into this restaurant. And Radhika just looked at Usma and said, oh, who is this person with a mask? And I think Radhika is really fascinated by masks. She just keeps she just keeps staring at them. She just looked at Usma and said, and then Usma said, oh, is this Radhika? And I think everybody knows Radhika now because they've seen her on TV, they've seen her on social media. Everybody knows who she is. In fact, she's probably more famous than my husband and I are after taking the government to court. And then Asma said, you know what, let me just take Radhika around and you guys have a moment to just have a drink and just relax. So Asma Khan took Radhika around to every single table to greet everybody. And Radhika was just there, just absorbing it all. And I remember just looking at Nishant and just thinking, wow. Like, we've reached that point in our life now where we're meeting our heroes and they are taking Radhika. And Radhika obviously has no idea. But imagine at the age of 5 months, like, she's being welcomed by people like Usma Khan. And you know what the beauty about all of this is that I want to tell the story of Usma Khan to Radhika when she's older, when she's 5 years old, when she's 10 years old. When she grows up, I'm going to say that there is this woman called Usma Khan, and this is what she's achieved. And if she can do it, so can you. She's that person who I will always go back to when Radhika has a bad day or when Radhika needs a bit of a push. And for Usma to hold Radhika and just take her around is, well, it's just like a huge proud moment for me. And then she brought Radhika back, and then she was just asking me how I was, and I was just trying not to fangirl too much. And I think Nishan was trying to just calm me down. And we also had food at the table, so she didn't want to take too much of her time. But, you know, she seemed so involved with every customer. Like, every customer was just as important to her. And she did have to run back to the kitchen. This is the thing. I mean, how does she have time to cook? She's running such a big restaurant. She's got such a huge profile. I mean, all eyes are on her, and she's still going back to the kitchen and helping her staff. I don't know how she does it, but she said to me, look, I need to go back into the restaurant. Before I go, I just want to say this to you. And she said to me, she said, look, I don't have to work. I don't have to create this business. I don't have to open up this restaurant. My husband's working. We have a nice life. My husband's bringing in money. I don't need to do any of this. I am just doing it for girls like Radhika. I'm only doing this because I know that when girls like Radhika grow up, they can look back and say, oh, this is Usma Khan, this is what she's done. And that gave me chills, because a lot of the time when we talk about creating a legacy, when we talk about creating our brand and doing our side hustle, it's always about us. It's always about what can I create? What can I get in return? But she gave me, like, she gave me that moment of realization where it's not always about that. It's what can you create? What kind of seed can you plant so that the next generation benefit from it? And that was so humbling. That was so humbling. And that was just a moment for me to just say, well, Meenal, just snap out of it. Because we're always after likes and views and listens and all of that. And sometimes you just need to think, well, maybe in 20 years' time, Radhika's going to be in school with her friends. And they're going to need a bit of inspiration. And Radhika might say, actually, you know what? My mom spoke to this person 20 years ago. Here, have a listen. This might help you. And that's the change we want to make. That's the impact we want to have. Because what we create now is great. But I think we all need to zoom out. And Usma Khan has this perspective. She has zoomed out already. And she knows that whether she's running a restaurant or whether she's writing a cookbook is not so much about what it brings to her now, but what it brings to future generations. And I just felt like I had to share this with you, because my personal experience with her is important for you to understand the person she is, because you'll see a lot of her on TV, you'll read her articles, you see her on Netflix, but this was my personal experience with her. And I was so excited. And that night, don't get me wrong, I mean, it wasn't wasn't all as glorious as it seems to be. So that was like 10 minutes of the whole night. So we were there for a good 4 or 5 hours. Because the whole meal does take time, because it's a 6-course meal. And the waiters bring all the different courses in their own time. And because I have the issue that Radhika doesn't feed, I had to breastfeed her, right? So I had to go back in and out all the time. And the staff was so accommodating. So what Asma Khan has is a deli and then the main restaurant. And the deli is run during the day. So during the day, they sell like the cheese toasties, their cups of chai, their coffee, and all these snacks for people to take away. So I was sat in the deli and I was breastfeeding Radhika and I was listening to all the Bollywood classics I was playing in the kitchen. I could hear it. And I just felt so comfortable. I didn't feel like I was, you know, out of place or anything like that. Now, we had left our house in Luton quite early on in the afternoon because the commute was quite long. So we were out for a good 8-9 hours and Radhika was getting quite cranky because she just needs to have her sort of, you know, her bedtime routine. So when she goes to bed at around 10, 11, she just needs that time to completely go to bed and that's it. I was trying to put her to sleep in the pram at the restaurant, but she wasn't having it because she was so stimulated. There were so many lights. There were so many people. I was just rocking her back and forward. I was going in and out with her. And trust me, this baby is just getting heavier day by day. I mean, I had a good back workout. My back was just gone by the end of the day. And also from the restaurant to the car, we had a bit of a fair walk. And it was cold as well. And, you know, one thing I realized about central London, and this is something I've never really thought about because I guess I go there all the time. So now, because I haven't been there for a while and I've been sat at home most of the time, you think, because obviously if you're sat at home and you tell yourself, okay, let's go to central London, you think you're going to this really nice fancy place, right? And we were walking down, was it Oxford Street? I think it was Oxford Street. And some of the small alleyways had just bin bags everywhere. And I was like, has this always been like this? You think that London would be completely clean and spotless, but there was just so much rubbish lying around down Soho and some parts of Oxford Street. And you just forget that there are little pockets within central London that can be like that. And I was terrified because there were so many people out. And again, it's just one of those nights. You're just like, are we really in a pandemic? Because people are just out as if nothing's happening. And we were with our pram trying to get around London. And some of the roads were so tiny, like the pram wouldn't even fit. And I only think we managed because probably half the people were indoors. And if it was a normal Christmas December month, no way could we have gone out with Radhika. No way. But to have that night out with Radhika was so much fun. And I only managed to take one photo, which is quite annoying because it was probably the most memorable night of the pandemic. And all I have is one photo. But it's fine. It's better than nothing. At least I took that one photo. It was just one of those nights where everybody's phone was out of battery. Mine was out. Nishan was running out. And all the other guys who were with us as well. So that was my Friday. I'm glad I let it out now. I feel like I really need to tell you guys about my Friday night. And if you haven't watched Chef's Table on Netflix, literally just, I wouldn't say drop everything right now because obviously you're listening to this podcast, but I mean, once a podcast is finished, drop everything and that's the first thing you're going to watch because it's just incredible. And they have different volumes as well. And I'm sure I've mentioned this before. I'm just so obsessed with this show. But they go into France and they do a few episodes there as well, which is really beautiful to watch. I mean, the production and the videography is just something that I don't think I've ever seen before. But you know, one thing I also sort of, another eureka moment I had on Friday was, when we were driving back on Friday, because Radhika gets really restless in the car sometimes, especially if the car is not in fast motion, continuous motion. When we're on the motorway, she's fine. But when we're in the city, in the traffic lights, and there's so much stopping and starting, she doesn't like it. So we figured out there are two things at work, either really loud rock music or a really loud podcast. And You know, one of the things that Nishant and I share between us is that we're very critical of our work, and self-criticism is something that I've only really learned to appreciate over the last few months, because I had to. I mean, if you want to be great, if you want to stand out, if you want to really be the best in your field, there has to be some form of self-criticism involved. I don't feel that you can really get anywhere unless you criticize yourself or actually have a productive reflection of your work. And Nishant has been in GP training he's training as a general practitioner or family doctor. And one thing they focus a lot on is communication and reflections. And it's something we're trying to incorporate in our own things. Like Nishant is trying to incorporate in his music, and I'm trying to do in my podcast. I've always been very shy to listen back to my podcasts. I've always been very afraid because I never want to cringe at my own work. And that does happen. It happens. It's very normal, I think, for us to cringe at our own work. And I think my fear of criticizing my work comes from the fact that as an Indian girl, my parents always criticize me. My family always criticize me. So I felt that some part of me had to be kind to myself, because all the criticism was already done, like that was already taken care of, and I didn't want to beat myself up even more. Now my parents obviously don't criticize me. I think my parents sugarcoat things too much, so I have to take that role. And Nishant and I have always come to an agreement that when it comes to our work, we have to be very productive in our criticism. And Nishant's very good at this, because he knows that if I've had like a sleepless night or if I haven't slept very well, then he will try and preface his criticism nicely, or he'll try and make a nice feedback sandwich. You know, it's all of these things that you have to keep in mind, because you have to empathize with the other person. But I said to him, I was like, you know what? Just go back to episode 36, the last episode, which was with Femi. Let's have a listen. Because Nishant's a big fan of Femi's work. And my idea was, well, if you follow this person, would you be interested in the podcast? Can I offer you something that you haven't heard before? Because obviously the thing about these podcasts and these interviews is that, remember, people like Femi, people like Dr. Poonam Krishan, people like Juggy, all of these people have been interviewed before. And I always want to try and bring something else that hasn't been done or that hasn't been said. And when Nishant listened to the podcast, he takes a piss from time to time with me. He always jokes around with me. Apart from that, you know, he said, Mila, that was really good. I found that really interesting. And it's not, I mean, his word doesn't mean everything to me, of course, because I think he was being quite nice to me, because he knew that if he wasn't nice to me, then the rest of my evening would have probably been ruined. But I also listened back and thought, I was quite happy with that, you know? I was quite happy with the way that was executed and the way I spoke. I felt that I really connected with Femi in that episode, and I still feel it was a bit rushed. I still feel like I should have spoken to Femi a lot more. But you know what the issue with me is that I'm so restricted with my time, unfortunately. And as I said, because Radhika is only breastfeeding, I don't have time to go on for an hour and a half like I used to. So my time is limited, but I'm really trying my best. And I think Femi's episode is one that I'm really proud of. And you know, this always happens. The one that I'm proud of is probably the one that's going to get the least views and the least listens and the least likes on Instagram. But you know what? That doesn't really matter. I haven't really checked the analytics of it all, but that always happens. But yeah, I always suggest that you do an audit of your work and do an audit of your time. And this is something I did say, I think it was on BBC Asian Network early in the pandemic, where I did an interview and they were asking like, what to do with your time? And I said, well, if you want to be productive, sorry about that, yawn. It's 7 p.m. on a Monday night. I'm allowed. If you want to be productive, you should do a self-audit. I mean, you have to look at how you're working. You have to do a self-reflection. And the host was like laughing at me. She was like, well, you know, just relax, just take it easy. I'm like, yeah, you can. You have to relax. You have to take it easy. We are in a pandemic. It is a huge change for us, but you have to be a bit, you know, like, well, I guess you have to have some standards. I know this probably sounds really like arsey, but you have to have some standards when it comes to your work. Because no one else is going to do it for you. That's the thing. No one else is going to criticize your work. No one else is going to come to you and say, well, I went back and listened to this, 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 and this is what I thought. No one's going to do that for you. People are only going to come back to you with positive feedback. But no one's really going to come to you with negative feedback unless you have, unless you do it yourself, really. I don't know if that sounded really arsy or not, but I mean, I said it anyway, so who cares? Anyway, I'm going to go to all the questions we have this week. So I'll only go through a couple because I am running out of time. Okay, let me just open up my email. Because if I was a bit more organized, I would have had that tab open already. Okay, fine. First email. Hi, Meenal. Okay, so this is the maybe millionth time someone has misspelled my name. It's M-E-E-N-A-L. I mean, it's fine that you misspell my name, but also my name is kind of everywhere, so I don't know why you do that. And I also haven't really met many Minals. M-I-N-A-L. I don't know why people misspell it. I haven't really met many Minals. I met Meenal, but I haven't really met Minal. But yeah, anyway, I'll go back to the email. Hi, Meenal. Love your show. I listen to it on my commute to work in the mornings. I'm going to stop there. I just have to say, I really try to get out every Friday morning. If I don't, I hope I don't ruin your commute. I live in Dallas, and I was wondering what you think of the Biden presidency, and I wonder what you think about Kamala Harris. P.S. Keep posting pics of Radhika on your Instagram. I love her. She's adorable. Love from Anita. Thank you, Anita, for getting in touch, and thank you for tuning in all the way from Dallas. Wow. I never thought I'd have listeners all the way there, but first, your first point about the Biden presidency and Kamala Harris, I think I was beyond, I mean, happy isn't the right word. I think everybody just wanted to get rid of the cancer, really. And everybody just wanted to get rid of Trump. And when it was announced that they won, I mean, it was a huge moment for women. It was a huge moment for South Asian women. And it was just a huge moment for the world because it just shows the power of voting. And it shows the power that we have. And it shows that you can be any skin color and still stand in that position of power. Now, I know there's a lot of criticism when it comes to Kamala Harris and the stuff that she's done before. And even with Joe Biden. But, you know, this is something I spoke to Femi about, which was that when you enter politics, I don't think there's ever been anybody in politics who's been completely, completely pure. And that is something I discussed with Femi, which was that if you enter politics and look at the political system, I don't know if everyone can be completely pure because at some level and at some stage, someone does get corrupted and something that we just have to accept. I mean, if you look at Barack Obama, I don't think he's got a clean slate either. And I don't think anybody does. And this is the risk of going into politics, which is that the question always comes down to how much change can you actually make? Is it at a grassroots level or is it when you have your name on the ballot card? But we all knew that we had to get rid of the cancer, which was Trump, because the danger with Trump was that not only did he spread hate and sort of expose the most vulnerable of our society, but he also converted people, and I think that's the most dangerous part, that people who never were Islamophobic or people who never were anti-vaxxers or anti-maskers were managed to be convinced by his narrative and by his people. And that was the biggest danger to the world, I think. So I am very happy that the presidency has changed. I don't know how much positive change it will bring, but I think it's definitely a start in the right direction. So my next question is, let's see, I've got an inbox full of emails. I'm just gonna open them as I go along. I'm really trying to do them in order because I think that's the only fair way to do it. So my next one is from Arif from Bahrain. Hi, Meenal, I love your show and your guests have been really interesting. Some of the guests I've never heard of, but nice to think outside my usual box. I want to study art, but my parents are forcing me to go through medical school. How can I convince them? Well, thank you, Arif. And I'm glad that, you know, some of my podcast interviews have allowed you to explore other parts of the world and other topics, which I think is really important, because that's how we become better global citizens and better humans, right? By understanding at least little bits of what we can, because we'll never know everything. And I think that's something that I've had to accept myself as well. Now, you want to study art, and firstly, I'm sorry that you're being forced to go down something you don't want to do. But this is when the art of debate comes in, which is, well, put yourself in your parents' shoes, and this is what you need to ask your parents, right? Like, why do you want me to go down the medical route? Is there money? Okay, well, as an artist, I can earn this much money. And I think you need to have the facts ready before the argument. You need to sort of play it out in your head. And you need to put yourself in their shoes, man. Like, a lot of our parents want us to go down these routes because they just want stability. They just want a career where stability is guaranteed. And the quality of life is a secondary thing. I mean, the quality of life as a doctor is pretty shit. I can tell you that. I don't know what it's like as an artist. But what I would say is that you need to be able to put yourself in their shoes, and you won't come across this, you won't get your point across after one discussion or two discussions. It might take months. But don't give in. Don't give in, because this is your life. And if you're unhappy for the rest of your life, then it's on you. Because, yeah, our parents will force us to do lots of things. Our parents will force us to go to medical school, marry this person. And it's because they feel that that's what's best for us. Because a lot of the time it can turn into a blame game where you say, oh, you made me do this and you made me do that. And I think we need to sort of step away from all of that now and try and be more compassionate where we can. I don't know, you know, the mechanics of your relationship with your parents, but if possible, bring compassion into the debate and try answer all their questions and try to convince them that you'll have the same stability, which is, I assume, is what they want. And try and, you know, like, make a PowerPoint presentation and say, look, this is why I should go to art school. And maybe that will convince them, because they also need to see that you want it badly. And I think a lot of the times our parents just think that we're being stubborn for the sake of being stubborn. But a lot of the time it comes across like that. But really, we've done our research for a lot of things and we know why we want stuff. But you know what, Arif, what I'm going to say is, get back to me on that. I want to know more about this, because I think that a lot of our listeners are probably going through the same thing. And I want to know more about your conversation. And this is one thing that I have mentioned before, which is that everybody's journey is different. I can't give advice. I can't give it's not a one size fits all sort of thing with a lot of the things I say. So if you get back to me with a bit more of the specifics about how things have gone, then maybe I can help you out. But thank you for listening. Arif, I appreciate your time and your email as well. I only have time for one more because Radhika is on my lap, and I think she's just patiently waiting, and I think she's not very familiar with this room either, so she's just looking around to see what's going on. She's like, what does my mommy do in here? Right, Radhika? Yeah, oh, I wish you could see this smile, but you can't because it's all audio. Oh, can't wait to do a podcast with her. What would I call it? What do we call the podcast, Radhi Boo Boo? We'll call it Adventures of Radhi Boo Boo. And then every week we'll talk about all the stuff that she's done that week. Oh my God, that'll be so much fun. I can't wait for her to talk. And then talk on the podcast, of course. My next email. All right, I need to be quick now. So this is from Rohana in London. Hi, Rohana. Thanks for getting in touch. So your email. Hi, Emil. My baby is turning one and I feel like the whole year has gone by and achieved nothing but feeding and nappy changing. How do you find the time to do it all and also take care of your little baby? I feel like nobody really understands what I've gone through. I feel like I've lost myself. And now the baby is a little more independent. I'm not really sure where to start. Rohana, I feel you. I feel every single line of that. I've been through that. I know what it's like where you just feel like a milk machine or an nappy changing machine. I almost feel like I'm those guys in Formula One who change the wheels every few hours, but it happens. And I feel like the narrative a lot of the time, especially in our South Asian communities, I don't know if this happened to you, but it is always baby first, baby first. Yeah, baby will always come first. I mean, that's like, and this is the thing, right? Everyone's like, oh yeah, baby comes first. But I mean, you don't have to tell us that. Like, we know that. We know the baby's going to come first. I mean, baby has to come first. That's why we had a baby, because we know the baby's going to come first. We're not dumb. We're not stupid. But now the question is, how do you find yourself? And I understand you can get lost in this whole journey of motherhood. But one thing that's really helped me, Rohana, is I've completely, completely detached myself from mother forums, mom forums, even taking advice from family, because again, everyone's journey is different and the advice people give you will be from their own experiences and it might not fit for you. And like I was mentioning when I was speaking, when I was trying to give advice to Arif, which is that it's not one size fits all. Just because other mothers spend 12 hours a day with the baby doesn't mean that you have to. And just because mothers wait till the full year to go back to work doesn't mean you have to. Everyone is different and it's all down to how you run your family. I think you need to give yourself a bit more time, especially like in the evenings when the baby falls asleep, or be more proactive with the support around you and say, look, can you just take them for an hour while I go upstairs and sit on my laptop and do some work, or while I go for a walk and listen to a podcast? If you have that scheduled time in the day, I think that makes a world of a difference. Now, with Radhika, I mean, I wish I had my shit together. I don't. And a lot of the times that I work are when sometimes I'm typing with one hand and she's on my lap. And that's the only way I can get work done. And I've accepted that. That's how it's going to be. I only get work done when she's asleep. I only get work done when my husband's here. And I've gone from having maybe 6-7 hours a day to myself when I was in my third trimester and sitting at home, to having only 1 hour to myself. And I know that in 1 hour I have to get as much done as possible. Now, one of the things that's helped is that, well, I have an hour. Do I work? Do I clean the kitchen? Or do I do the laundry? And to be honest, it wasn't like this before, but I put housework at the very bottom. Because you can do that when you're tired. You can do that when you're exhausted, because it doesn't take much brain power. But to do to go down and write down your passions and your hobbies and do all the stuff that you really love does require brain power, and it does require some sort of creativity. So you do that first, and any tasks that you have, put in order of priority. And you know what? It's okay if washing the dishes isn't a priority, because screw it. I mean, you can wash the dishes tomorrow. The house will always be messy. You've got a baby at home, and don't let anyone make you think that you need to have all the laundry done every day or the dishes need to be done every day, because they don't. So I hope that helps, Rohana. And I hope I've managed to give a bit of advice to Arif and Anita as well. But yeah, I'm going to have to say goodbye here, because I can see Radhika now is staring at me with the eyes of, why aren't you giving me the same attention? But I will see you all on Friday. We have another guest this week, and I'm not even going to spoil it, but it's bye from me, and it's bye from Radhi Bilpo. Radhi Bilpo, say bye-bye. She'll get there. She'll learn how to talk one day. And remember, you can always email me at mealsworldpodcast@gmail.com. I'm very active on Instagram and Twitter, so you can just DM me there as well, where I answer all of your questions. So have a lovely week ahead, and I'll see you all very, very soon.